This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 286 of the Stacey West podcast. I am Ben and I am joined by Chris this week. How are you doing, mate? Are you well?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right, thank you. Oh no, did that sound come up on the... Just whacked my wrist on the table then while adjusting the frozen peas that just fell off my knee. I've got a poorly knee. I'm getting a bit concerned about the 10K. Though, mixed feelings this morning because my knee does hurt. But I had to play 90 minutes in goal this morning. But we won 8-2, which is brilliant. That doesn't happen at Rugby Football Club very often. So, so pretty good. Pretty good in that regard. And had my first proper night out of the year last night. Was at the Drill Hall, watched a band called The Longest Johns. And they were exceptional. It was brilliant.
I heard we were going there on the pod on Thursday when you were talking to Charlie about it. I thought, that sounds like a real, like, Saturday night. Just let's go and see a band singing sea shanties.
Yeah, it was just really good fun. Really, really good fun. It was almost sold out. It was really busy in there. Far busier than I expected it to be. Just really good. Okay. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, just there's a lot of pain going around in the Stacey West podcast at the minute, I'm trying to get myself to the point where I'm going to be ready for the 10K. Yeah, at the moment, I don't quite think I'm there. I know it's 3 weeks today, which is slightly terrifying, I'm not going to lie. It's just my calves. Like, I've had flat feet for as long as I can remember. Like, I've always had supports in my shoes. And yeah, doing this kind of, I started without them in and I was like, oh, that's bad, I need to get some. And yeah, it's just slowly getting better, but it's not getting better at the speed at which I feel like I need to in preparation for the 14th. I've had a couple of like sports massages on my leg to try and again get it back into fitness rather. The first one that I had, she said, oh yeah, you kind of needed this. I was like, okay. She says, yeah, it's like trying to massage a brick. So I was like, oh, okay. My legs were a bit knackered, but hopefully we'll be there. We'll be ready and we'll all get round.
By hook or by crook, we will complete it.
100%. Even if I have to crawl over the line, I will be doing it.
Indeed. We'll be fine.
Don't forget, I think Gaz has done a quick update on his progress, and I think there'll be updates from the rest of us today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening. Don't forget to go there and donate if you can, because we're over 800 quid now for the foundation, which is fantastic stuff. But we're kind of talking about, you know, not a huge amount of football related at the minute because we haven't had a game. But I've just seen that you've put in the chat about Imptunes, and yes, I think we'll track back very slightly to mention that. Obviously, huge thank you to Chris in Imptunes, who is not the same Chris as you. We should probably clarify that because we've had that a few times.
Yes, two or three times by the same person more than once. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So, massive thanks to Chris for the cartoon. It was great seeing fantastic. That. Seeing that do the rounds, it's I did message him and he said apparently I got off very lightly, so I was like, okay, I half expected him with, you know, to come back with oil, but I originally drew you with like an oxygen mask on your face or something to do that. But no, look, like I say, we're kind of skirting around the houses a little bit because we haven't had a game this week when there's not been a huge amount of news that's come out, but we all felt very good yesterday, didn't we, Chris?
Yeah, not quite as good right at 5 o'clock as we did a few minutes beforehand, but you know what, obviously we're talking about the Stevenage and Carlisle game because Stevenage had a game yesterday, which was their game in hand over us, and they were at the time on the same points as us with that game in hand. And I think pre-game almost all of us in the fan base were probably expecting a Stevenage victory, so to see Carlisle 2-0 up was very nice. And I genuinely had the mentality of I don't think Stevenage are a massive threat. I think they're not a brilliant run, and they've got tough games coming up. I feel like they're gonna drop plenty of points, and that was my mentality. Maybe a distancing element to that in terms of not worrying too much about this result. But then as soon as it was 2-0 to Carlisle, I cared a lot about that result. It was very very important, and it had a big impact on our season. I was in town yesterday, so I was actually just waiting to go and have some food. It was kind of killing sort of 15, 20 minutes, just went into a shop. And I walked upstairs in the shop. I didn't look at anything. And I was just sat there on my phone, literally watching the timer kick down. And then just at the death, it went to 2-2. Nice, damn, it's actually a really good result. It's 2 points fewer than they expected them to have.
Yeah.
But it was disappointing right at the death. So, of course, at that moment, I reverted my stance straight back to I don't care about Stevenage anyway.
Well, look, we'll come on to a lot of the opposition run-ins and indeed our run-in a bit later on in the podcast. But one thing that we wanted to talk about was the loanees that we have currently out from the club at different places. Had something very different on Thursday, which I thought was a really good listen, by the way, of the Academy stuff. I really enjoyed that. It was, very well done by you.
Thanks. Quickly on that, I really enjoyed discussing it with Charlie. Charlie did all the hard work with that, by the way. I just turned up and talked. thank you for Jez for attending the time for it. But also, just thank you for all of the response. You know, I think when we put that pod together without a game and, you know, without really anything first team to talk about, I was a little bit concerned, I think, Charlie and I, that it might not be particularly well received or not get many listens, but there's been loads of stuff. So thank you everyone that's messaged. It's been really overwhelming actually. So thank you for that. Glad you enjoyed it. Hopefully this one can give us a bit of an insight into loanees and opposition run-ins. That's lots to talk about, isn't there?
Yeah. So I mean, look, we'll start with the loanee stuff. Usually what we try and do is we try and get hold of opposition fans to give us their view on how people are doing. But I'm not gonna lie, it's been a little bit of a struggle to do that with some of the sides that are there. And obviously the big, we've got three players out on loan in the League of Ireland. And it's one of those where you think, well, they've only had five games so far. So there may not be a huge amount of information there. So what we've done is we've had a look and we've seen essentially how they've been doing on paper and, you know, how they've been playing. So we'll start with We'll start with Sam Long, who has been out on loan at Falkirk. They're doing great guns in the Scottish First Division. Scottish League One, I should say.
Yeah, they're 17 points clear of the team in second place with just six games to go. Like, it's basically wrapped up for them. So
they haven't, I'm just looking through the results, they haven't actually lost in the league all season. They've lost in the Scottish FA Cup, and they've lost in the Scottish Challenge Cup. They've also lost in the League Cup. And that's about it. The rest of them, I think they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 draws, and they've won the rest of their games. So Sam has played 18 games in goal for them. He has not conceded more than one on pretty much all bar one occasion. And he's obviously got quite a few clean sheets behind him as well. So it seems like this has been a really positive loan for Sam. He's gone out there and he's playing at a level that, you know, some may say is potentially below where we are. But that's kind of what loans are there for. You know, they're to go out and gain confidence and gain your experience. But yeah, I think they've kind of switched between two keepers by the looks of it. It's between Sam and it's between, I think the other one is Nicky Hogarth.
Yeah.
Sam's played 18 games in goal in the league and Nicky's played 12. It definitely looks like, you know, this is a strong loan for Sam and he seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think he needed a good loan after a challenging time at Boston last year, really with not a lot of fault of his own either. Mm-hmm. Was going into a really challenging situation at the club. Obviously, he had his performance in our first team against Plymouth a couple of years ago, kind of burst onto the scene and was really, really good. And he just needed games and had a real challenging time last season with Boston. And this was an important one for him. I think it's an important one for him to get a professional loan, because he'd been out on loan at Boston, which is, as we discussed on Thursday, and we'll discuss this a little bit with the some of the other guys later. When you're at Boston, or at, for example, the lads that are playing at Peterborough Sports, yes, you're training, you're playing week in, week out at a decent level. You're training with them on a couple of evenings a week, but you're also still very much part of the first team squad and getting first team training at Lincoln. The next step to that is you have a professional loan, like you are very much part of another club in that professional environment as a very much a first team player. And that's what Sam's gone along and done. It's been bitty in and out of the team. Started the season in goal, in and out a little bit, but he's played the last five games. I think they've won every single one of those last five games as well, I think, haven't they? It seems to be a really promising loan for him, a real promising loan for him. And I always remember the evening we had with Jez at the end of September when we were recruitment, but he made a point about the lads out on loan. So there's no such thing as a bad loan. And at the time, Alicia Ahui was on loan at Ayr and wasn't getting in the team. And of course, it was a challenging time for Alicia. But Jez was like, you know, all we have to do with these young lads is be patient. Like, every experience is valuable. He mentioned Sam had a, you know, tough time at Boston, but he'll learn so much from that. Alicia wasn't in the team at Ayr but learned so much from that and came back stronger. And Sam obviously clearly has had to fight for his number one spot. It hasn't been guaranteed for him. And it seems like he's kind of won that battle and he's played the last five games and it looks like he's going to see out the season. And we'll probably end up playing about double the amount of games than his competitor. Promising. So that'll be really interesting in the summer, won't it? Because we'll have three
permanent keepers
that are all contracted to the club. So we'll have Robinson, Wright and Long. So that'll be really interesting to see kind of what the dynamic is there and kind of what happens with those. But it seems like he's given himself the best possible opportunity to come back in and be a part of things in terms of the first team squad, at least. I don't think anyone's going to usurp Mr. Jensen. I think he is head and shoulders above the other two, but it'd be interesting to see whether Sam becomes our long-term number two for a little while. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's it's a bit of a conundrum that I think is going to need solving, because, like you say, we've got three first-team goalkeepers. I wonder if... I don't know. I just wonder if Sam will go out on loan again, or if this might be the time to potentially cash in. It's going to be an interesting decision in the summer for sure.
Yeah, because I think I'm right in saying that Sam's got two more years left in his deal, because he's got a long one. And both Jensen and Wright have got 1 year left after this one. So, maybe another loan for Sam. And then maybe he then goes up the pecking order a little bit. But either way, I think he's very much part of the first team plans in the long term, at the very least. And he's definitely done himself no harm with this loan. Like I said, he needed to have a good one. And he has. So credit to him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So next up, we're going to stay in Scotland with Jaden Brown, who's gone to St Mirren. Again, early days in terms of this loan. He's been there since, I think it was pretty much the end of the window, wasn't it, that he went out? But he's been at St Mirren now. He's come off the bench four times in the league, once in the cup. I think he's only played about an hour, just over an hour for them. So this is one where I think this seemed to be more of a confidence loan, maybe, because he didn't necessarily hit the ground running for us at Lincoln. And obviously you know, when Jack Burrows is in the squad and he's playing as well as he is, you're not going to get in. So I think there was a bit of a mismatch from Jayden. And I don't think that's to turn around and say, oh, you know, he's a bad player, because he's you can't be a bad player and be a professional footballer. It's the two are incompatible. But I think, yeah, I just wonder if this is not necessarily going to be the kind of successful loan that we've seen with Sam. I'm going off of just player ratings on a couple of sites here. The games that he's come on, he came on for 8 minutes in a game that they won 3-0. He came on for 33 minutes in a game that they lost 2-0 to Celtic. A game where they lost 1-0, they drew 1-1, and they lost 5-2. He's played 7, 19, and 18 minutes respectively. So he's not seen as a starter at St Mirren.
He was never going to be. This is of all the loans that we've had this winter, either from the summer or, of course, from January, this one made by far the least sense. Not from the club's perspective. From the club's perspective, it made total sense, because it's a player that wasn't going to be part of your plans, really, off the wage bill for a few months, or at least reduce it. But from a player's perspective, this is the only loan that just made so little sense, because Jayden Brown needed games. He hardly kicked a ball at Sheffield Wednesday. I imagine he came in the summer expecting to be our first choice left wing back. Had a couple of opportunities. Some would argue not enough, and that I think that's a valid point. But did have some opportunities, but couldn't nail down that starting position. And then again, really fell out of the squad. So what he needed to go and do, from his career perspective, he's got to go play games. So why on earth would you go to a Scottish Premier League side where their captain and arguable player of the season is Scott Tanzer, their current left back? The club would have fielded various bids. Jayden would have picked his choice of where he wanted to go. That's, I imagine, generally how it works, unless this was the only option. We don't know how much choice he had. But I imagine I would be surprised if there wasn't clubs in League Two, for example, that were really keen on bringing him in. So this one really confused me a little bit. And I don't like to be too harsh of players, of course. I don't know Jayden as a guy. I really hoped him to be successful. I was just really surprised that the loan that he ended up with it's never a guarantee, but didn't really give him a reasonable opportunity of starting games. Ultimately, if he did take Scott Tanzer's place in the team and kind of earned that by the end of the season and kind of played 10 games from the start because he earned that, then you go, well, fair play. That's a really, really good loan, and he's come back into the first team picture. But as it's transpired, like, he's played an hour of football in almost 3 months.
Yeah.
2 months, sorry, that's harsh. Yeah, in a couple of months. It just baffled me. It just really baffled me. Not from a club's perspective, because it's a player that wasn't going to be part of things and you kind of taken him out of the squad. But from his perspective, I was just surprised that he hasn't gone somewhere where he just wants to play week in, week out. But I will just say, at a very, 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 very different level, I kind of get it. It's probably on a purely personal level, my biggest regret in my football career, if you can call it a career, was after I had my bad injury, I was always determined to play at the highest level I possibly could, whatever level that would be. And what that turned out to be, I was signed on at a club at the highest level I could be at, rather than dropping down a league or two and playing at the highest level I could play at regularly. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's a little bit of that in here. And I'm thinking, you know, I want to be involved at the highest level I can.
Is it a pride thing?
The pride or ego or stature? Yeah. Whatever. We don't know. Obviously, everyone's different. But, you know, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. But this one did confuse me a little. And I have to admit, without sounding too harsh, I'm just not surprised that he hasn't played much football. It didn't look like he was going to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think it's, you know, I said looking into St Mirren a little bit, and like you say, Scott Tanzer seems to be like their player of the season so far. He's you know, consistently doing well. He's consistently in the squad. He's got a goal from his left wing back position, and yeah, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting one. So we'll see what happens for Jayden Brown in the summer. Hopefully, you know, he can get a bit more game time and he comes back and is a better player. But
we all absolutely hope that's the case. Yeah. I would be surprised if we saw Jayden Brown in a Lincoln City shirt again, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he has got another year on his deal.
yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you there. Although, you know, with Burrows going in the summer, obviously with him only being alone, there's an opportunity there. It's just whether there's the ability to take it or not, but we shall see. So that is Jaden Brown. Next up was Jay Benn. And obviously with Jay Benn, we've had a piece on the site regarding Jay Benn, I think, was back in February.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's the Solihull Moors CEO. He said that he's been very impressed with Jay Benn. I think shortly after that, unfortunately, by the looks of it, he's been injured, so he hasn't been featured that much in the squad recently. So kind of going off that from what we've seen from Jay Benn. But yeah, he seemed to be a player that was consistently starting and making an impact on the squad. I think when he joined, he had a really good impact on the pitch and around the squad, but he's unfortunately had a few injuries. He's now just getting back from those injuries, being involved in the win at Halifax next week. So he said, keep him fit, keep him proactive, and he can be an important part of our playoff push. Unfortunately, shortly after that, he then got injured again, but he has been on the bench.
Yeah, yesterday was his first appearance back on the bench after a few weeks out. So yeah, fingers crossed he gets a good run in the team between now and the end of the season. And of course, Solihull are very likely to have an extended end of the season in the playoffs as well. So
indeed, yeah. So I'm pleased that he's doing well there. I mean, this seems to be one that we can put another tick in alongside Sam Long. I think this has been a beneficial loan for both Jay and the club that he's gone to. So yeah, hopefully, you know, he can head out, get a promotion on his under his belt, and come back and be a part of the squad.
Absolutely, yeah. So for me, it's him and Ahui mm-hmm. almost vying for the backup role behind Lass. Yeah. I don't think anyone is realistically in with a shout of usurping Lass Sorensen, but of course, injuries happen, form does change, etc. So I think it'll be interesting. Again, being completely objective here, because we all, you know, as Lincoln fans, we hope all these lads do really well. Of course we do. For me, I think Alicia has certainly got plenty of fuel in the tank in regard to his future. He could well have another one or two loans and still eventually end up as a first team player. Jay, obviously he's that little bit older, not totally old, but I think he's 22. So I think he comes back into the squad in the summer as part of the first team. And then we make a decision probably in the window as to whether he is going to be part of the squad that season, or if he isn't, I wouldn't be surprised to see that might be a permanent sale rather than a second loan. Whereas for Alicia, which I'm sure we'll come on to, I can imagine if he doesn't become the player in the first team squad, then another loan would make perfect sense.
So
Jay's done everything I've asked of him when he's been on the pitch, and he's been really impressive. So fingers crossed, that's a good sign, and he can come back and really push Lass in the preseason.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you say, provided you know Lass is indeed still here, we're obviously there's a lot of speculation around his contract. Hopefully, yeah, if he does stay, we will have that the ability to well. Fingers crossed, Jay will be able to push him for that if he stays in the squad. So, okay. Next one, you have mentioned him already. Alicia Rahui is out at Peterborough Sports. This was one that was quite tricky to get some detailed information on, but I've gone through the matches, and he seems to be consistently starting for them at least.
Yes, I've got down here, he has got 10 appearances, 9 starts since joining Peterborough Sports. In addition to, his 12... It's 12 games that he had at Ayr United earlier in the season as well.
Yeah, so it is consistently starting. It's obviously, you know, a level that we've seen players go to before. Was it Oshin that was out there before?
Oshin and Hayden both went out there, and then they both went across to Drogheda.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a club that we know. It's a club that are seemingly decent at developing the players that we send them. So, fingers crossed, Alicia comes back. I was quite impressed with Alicia when we saw him, because he played for a bit at Boston, didn't he?
He did. I was really impressed with him at Boston.
Yeah.
Really impressed with him at Boston,
I'm hoping that, you know, he can, like you say, he's got a lot of fuel in the tank for his future. He's got he's clearly got the ability to become a decent player. So I'm just hoping that, you know, he can continue to develop himself, and we'll see where he goes. Because I think the summer is probably too soon to bring him into the first team fold, unless he's absolutely smashed it. And
yeah, I think there's an interesting point there because, of course, he was off at Ayr at the start of the season. So that was his big kind of pro loan. So he was obviously moving away from home, living on his own for the first time, I imagine, and very much part of a first team squad in a professional environment at a really underperforming team. They had a good season last season and they really struggled badly. Was in and out of the team, manager changed, just a challenging environment for him. So he got 12 appearances. He'd actually had just started to kind of get back into the team a little bit, but we felt he'd had a real challenging time up there. Again, as I mentioned earlier, a good experience, you know, you learn from that hugely, but it was best for Alicia at that point to not just to guarantee him games that he's getting at Peterborough Sports, but of course they're semi-professional. So now Alicia is back in our environment. He's training with our first team squad every day and then playing for Peterborough at the weekends. So he's got that nice little hybrid now. He's had an experience that was unsuccessful on the pitch, but again, valuable experience. But we've now got him back in our environment. So I suppose it depends a little bit in regards to how much has he improved under Michael Skubala. We've seen so many players really kick on under Michael Skubala. You know, Jovan Mukama has just kicked on no end in such a short period of time. You know, he's looked so confident. He's using his body well. His like link-up play is great. Like Jovan has improved at the things that he was less skilled at. You know, I think he always had that physical threat. He's now using it better and his technical ability has improved. So, you know, we don't see what's happening with the other lads that are at training. Alone elsewhere, we don't see the training each week, so you know, I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see how, you know, in my mind Alicia could be close to Jay Ben in regards to that first team squad role. How close, of course, we'll see in the summer, but I think this has to go down as it's been definitely a worthwhile season for Alicia. He can continue the end of this season now, still playing week in week out for Peterborough Sports, and once again come into the first team's environment, at least in pre-season.
Definitely. And Peterborough Sports are actually playing at Boston on Friday. So if there's anybody that isn't coming down to Sincil Bank, then go to Boston, I guess. I don't know. So the last few that we have here, we've obviously got, like I said, we have three out on loan in the League of Ireland at the moment. We've got Hayden Cann, Oisin Gallagher and Zach Bradshaw. At Drogheda and Dundalk, respectively. They've only had 5 games so far, so it's difficult to even get a handle on where they are. But as we mentioned, sort of away from the pod, they are starting. They're all playing. They're all starting games. So, you know, it's definitely a positive thing that, you know, they go in there. And we've seen what loans at Drogheda can do for players. You know, we've seen that. We've seen what happened with Freddie Draper. We've seen what happened with Sean Rowan. So, fingers crossed, you know, it's another success story out there.
Indeed. Yeah, there's not really a lot else to add there. I think the benefit is they're playing and they're guaranteed to play all through the summer as well.
Yep.
They're going to be playing all the way through the summer when the rest of us are on holiday. after hopefully a playoff final victory. Sorry, what?
Yeah.
But yes, indeed. But ultimately, yeah, they're going to be playing all through the summer, so they're going to come into our pre-season fit as a fiddle, you know, with plenty of games and experience. So that's again, once again, can only be a good thing. I can't help but think Zach Bradshaw may be a replacement for Jaden Brown.
Okay, that's a good shout. Zach Bradshaw is one of those players that we've not seen anything of. He kind of came in and went straight out. It's like, hey, bye.
Yeah, I'm a thing. I exist and I'm off again now. See ya.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, so he'll be an interesting one because none of us know really what he's like. We see snippets here and there of clips and, you know, you track performance, performances in terms of like how many games he played and minutes and things. But what type of player is he? I don't think any of us really know. But I have heard on the grapevine that the club think he could potentially be like a longer term left wing back because he's played lots of different positions in his career so far. And I think left wing back is something that they're or potentially looking at. But again, it can change. You know, I imagine Lars Sorensen was signed as a central midfielder and now look at him. He is statistically the best right wing back in the league. So, you know, things can change, can't they? But ultimately, I think more than anything, it's just good luck to the lads out in Ireland. We know how successful it can be. So hopefully all three of them come back.
Definitely so.
With valuable experience.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, the last two that we're going to look at, the first one was a loan that I think surprised quite a few people. Ali Smith going to Colchester. Colchester struggling in League Two. And Ali Smith having played the most football out of anybody in the squad. Well, in the outfield at least, at the time he went. So probably a few people scratching their heads. But he's gone to Colchester, and by all accounts, he seems to be doing pretty well.
Yes, Colchester, since the Callies have taken over, have, of course, only won one game, but they've only lost two. Mm-hmm. They've drawn like 1,000, something about 1,000, there or thereabouts. So they've obviously significantly improved, because before the Callies came in, they lost 5 on a spin and had lost something. I don't know exactly, but it was something like lost 9 of the last 10 or something like that. They were on horrific form. So, of course, they haven't quite had the as many three points they'd like, but they've clearly improved. But they're in a fight. They're in a fight, definitely. But Ali Smith has stood out. He's impressed. The Callies seem to be playing very... the style of football you'd expect a team down there that's fighting for their lives, you know, very risk averse football. So, you know, Ali hasn't got a huge amount of time on the ball. He's not really got the ball at his feet that often, but, you know, Ali Smith's strengths when he was at Sutton was his physicality, you know, his ability to get up and down the pitch and actually crash the box as well. He's already scored a goal for Colchester as well. So, yeah, I agree. It did surprise me that he left the squad. But I think it kind of made sense in hindsight that he was, you know, as much as he'd made loads of appearances for us, he'd hardly played in centre mid, which is he'd been here, there, and everywhere. This was almost like a guaranteed chance for him to play in his preferred position. You know, I imagine, you know, Skubala came in and by that point weighed up who he would prefer to play in central midfield. Now, of course, as it transpires now, we've got a bit of an injury.
We could do with him back.
Central midfield and other players that we maybe wouldn't have even considered to be first team starters playing centre mid, in Moreland and Mamdrou have done superbly and made those positions kind of their own now. But there was certainly a question mark over that part of the pitch, and he probably would have had a nod ahead of them if he was still in the squad. But either way, he's getting guaranteed games. I think this was very much a loan designed to get Ali playing regular football in his best position, with a view of him coming back and being very much part of the squad next season.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think this was a precursor to a sale. I think this is it's another confidence one, isn't it? You know, if you want to go out and play in a league that you know pretty well, he was obviously one of the standouts in the division last season. If he goes there, plays well in his preferred position, like you say, hopefully he can come back and sort of, you know, maybe challenge the two Ethans for that starting spot. And it's when you start talking in terms of that, it's a very tricky prospect to do. But, you know, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, like you say, he's scored one. He's been man of the match. I think he was man of the match in his first or second game out there for them. I watched the Mansfield Colchester game on Sky yesterday, and he seemed, you know, he played pretty well. I mean, the Colchester keeper got the man of the match award because he was outstanding and kept them in it like every single minute. But, you know, Smith was fine, and it was quite strange watching that game, because you have Harry Anderson, Tom Hopper, and Ali Smith both all in the starting 11. It was like, oh, I know these people.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, watching Colchester feels oddly familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, hopefully Ali can steer them to staying up.
Yeah, at the expense of Forest Green, please. Please.
Please, yeah. But yeah, Smith did score against Forest Green as well, which is...
Of course he did, yeah. What a lad. What a lad. What a guy.
Absolutely. And then the final one who... I mean, we're not going to talk too much about, but I think we're just happy. Like, we're just happy for him. Hakiba Delican has gone to Doncaster, and he is absolutely smashing it. I think he's scored 5. He's got 4 assists. He's become one of their top players in the past month or two. I think he got the player of the month last month for League Two. I just couldn't be happier for the guy. I know we've said it before on the pod, and this may well be the last time we say it as we, you know, approach the run-in. But just for somebody to stick with the club in the way that he did, and do what was asked of him without moaning, got absolutely no complaints with how he handled himself here. And he's gone away and, you know, acted professionally all the way through it. And now he's found a spot where he's just, well, reveling in it, isn't he?
Yeah, I echo everything you've said. Just really pleased for him. This was not alone with the, you know, with the suggestion. I don't think of if he does well, he'll come back here potentially in a new deal. This was a final farewell. Go and find a home, Hacks. Mm-hmm. Go and enjoy your football for the second half of the season. You know, he's out of contract in the summer. It'll be quite a big chunk off our wage bill. It allows us to reinvest in other areas of the pitch. But there's no one at this football club that didn't wish Hacks just the very best. And yeah, just delighted to see him thriving, really, because, you know, he just looks happy, doesn't he? He looks mm-hmm. confident, and that's what you want to see. You know, when Hacks is in a good mental state, you could see the ability he has. It was just that consistency for him that was a challenge at this level. And, you know, yeah. The environment at Lincoln that he's been subject to, you know, there hasn't been a player that's been, I'm not saying we treated him badly, but the situation he found himself in would have been difficult. And it's not just a season, it was for 2 or 3 years. He had a real challenging situation that he found himself in. It was no real fault of his own. So I think, yeah, credit to how he handled himself. I'm just pleased for him. So yeah, fair play to Hacks. I don't think I think I'll eat my own head if I see him back in the Lincoln City shirt. But yeah, this isn't one kind of, this isn't like a good riddance. It's a, oh, that's nice, basically.
Yeah. Fair play to him. It's a fond farewell.
Indeed.
So that is that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a very quick break. Probably, you know, go and have a quarter pounder or whatever it is that's being encouraged of you. And then we'll come back and we will look at the run-in because it might be happening, Chris. It might be happening.
Yeah, so we're going to have a look at our run-in, but also the run-ins of our rivals and really just have a bit of a discussion. Now, we just spoke about this pre-pod, didn't we? And we said we're going to do this live rather than kind of pre-plan it and then say exactly how many points we think everyone's going to do it. We're going to do it like in real time and just see where we end up and see how realistic it really is. Be interesting.
Yeah. So we'll come back to you in a minute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And we're back. Okay, so yeah, as Chris said, we are going to take a look at the four teams that I believe are going to be competing for sixth spot in League One this season. Now, Barnsley, I think, are too far to catch. I think they are guaranteed a playoff spot at this point. And then we're looking at Oxford, Stevenage, ourselves, and Blackpool. Now, obviously, Leighton Orient potentially still in with a chance. They're 3 points behind us, 5 points behind sixth. It's potentially doable, but I think for the purposes of this podcast, we're going to discount them for reasons that we'll probably come on to when we get to our fixtures. But yeah, let's look at Oxford first, as they currently sit in sixth. So Oxford have Shrewsbury away, Fleetwood at home, Burton away, Peterborough at home, us at home, Stevenage at home, and then Exeter away on the final day. So there's two games that immediately stand out in there, which are Lincoln and Stevenage. So there is the potential for, you know, the four teams that are, well, sorry, three of the four in that group to take points off each other. So let's have a look at the first game of that run. So we've got Shrewsbury v Oxford, Shrewsbury away for Oxford. I didn't think much to Shrewsbury when we absolutely battered them.
They were poor.
So I think when you look at that, I can't see much beyond an Oxford win on that one.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we did what you expect to happen. I think we can expect Oxford to pick up 3 points against Shrewsbury.
Yeah, and then we have Fleetwood at home for Oxford. Now, Fleetwood looked like they were potentially going to have a bit of a resurgence, and then they've drawn three games on the bounce. I think they're going to be scrapping. I would be very surprised if they came away with a win. So I'm going to go with an Oxford win on that one as well.
Me too. I don't think it'd be an easy win because Fleetwood are improving, but you know, you'd expect it just in terms of the quality on the pitch of both teams, because Oxford are really inconsistent. I think it's worth pointing that out. As much as they're currently holding that sixth spot, their form since Des Buckingham came in has been really just inconsistent. Yeah, they've basically been like win one, lose one, draw one for the whole time that he's been there. So they're not on playoff form, but again, like, form not doesn't go out the window, but it kind of counts for little in the running. You know, if we're looking at these games as standalone games, I think this is a 3 points again for Oxford.
Yeah, no, I can't see too much else from that. And then the next one is Burton. Now, Burton, again, they're still scrapping, but they're in an awful run of form at the moment. I think they've lost five out of the last six, and the other one there was a draw. So again, this is one where, unless Burton can pick something up, I don't know. I can only really see another 3 points for Oxford on that one as well. But it is a way, you know. Yeah, I'm not confident really that Burton are going to do us a favour on that day.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's difficult with these because Oxford haven't won three games in a row since Ryan Manning was in charge. So you can think, well, they're unlikely then to win these three in a row. But again, you can only take each game at face value, and it'd be stupid to suggest that they're not favourites for those three games. I would actually be surprised if they did pick up 9 points, because it's football, isn't it? But on paper, I think you have to put them down.
So this is the thing. We're obviously looking at the games, and we're doing it on paper. You don't take into account form. You don't take into account, you know, runs. As soon as you get one, you know, one win, you get a second win, you start to get a bit of a, you know, bit of momentum behind you. Momentum can change very quickly in football. And I'm obviously doing this on paper. It's an interesting situation. So next up, they have Peterborough at home. I can't really see too much coming out of that for Oxford. I think Peterborough have been in very good form. Obviously, only Portsmouth have beaten them recently. I think this is going to be where Oxford will drop the first lot of points.
Agreed. I can see this a reasonably convincing Peterborough win. To be honest, Peterborough are very good going forward. Oxford are a little leaky defensively at times. I think what's worth bearing in mind, obviously we're going to look at the points tally, but what's also worth touching on here is that our goal difference is vastly superior to all of our rivals now. You know, our goal difference has gone from 0 10 games ago to now plus 23.
Yeah.
So, I think that potentially can come into it, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Oxford lose reasonably heavily to Peterborough.
Well, I mean, there was that, it's just that 11 goal swing, wasn't there, in one night, which was just ridiculous when I saw it. I think you and Charlie mentioned at the weekend, on Thursday, that it is basically like an extra point at this point in the season. So, Peterborough to beat Oxford. Then we have Oxford v Lincoln City, and this is where the game has been rearranged to the 16th of April, and I think that suddenly made it a very, very spicy fixture, didn't it?
Yeah, it was already big, and now it's bigger.
Yeah.
We don't actually know the significance yet, because there's three games between now and then.
Yeah. You
know, anything could happen, couldn't it? But as it stands right now, it could be huge. Not just for the sake of this podcast, I just think we're a really good team at the moment. And I think we're better than Oxford. I think we're a better football team than Oxford United are. I'm putting us down for a win for this. I'm going to think Oxford lose back-to-back games there.
Yeah, same. I'm really confident. And I think we've been speaking away from the pod, and we've said, you know, we can't really see where the next loss is going to come from. And that sounds incredibly arrogant, but we are playing very good football at the moment, and we're just, something's clicked, whatever it is, something's clicked, and we're just looking really dangerous. And again, that's an incredibly obvious statement to make when we just scored 16 in three, but yeah, you know how it is. So next up after that is Stevenage. So that is obviously the other, one of the other four, the other three that are in the running. I can probably see Stevenage managing to scrape a draw on this one.
Agreed. Yeah, I was going to say draw as well. So we'll put a point down for that one.
Yep.
It's weird. Then, like, Oxford are kind of, they're decent on the ball. I think they've got enough footballing ability to open up Stevenage, but they're not defensively solid enough to keep them out. Even if Stevenage don't create hugely high quality chances, like they can pin you in with their intensity. So yeah, I can see this being a point a piece.
Yep. And then the final game of the season for Oxford is Exeter, who I'm pretty sure will have nothing to play for at this stage of the season. They are solidly mid-table at the moment. I think they're sitting in 15th. They're not going down and they're not going up. They're Exeter City and they, yeah. So I'm going to say Oxford will see the season out with a win against Exeter.
Agreed. Agreed. I think if there's something on that game for Oxford and there's nothing on it for Exeter, you back Oxford to get the result they need there. So that, I believe, works at 13 points, which puts them on 76 points in the final standings.
Okay, so then we have Blackpool. So next up for Blackpool is Derby away. They then have Wickham at home, Cambridge United at home, and Fleetwood at home. Carlisle away, Barnsley at home, and Reading away on the final day. So this is the one that I think we're probably the most worried about of the other three teams.
Agreed.
I think this run-in, if you had to rank them in terms of, you know, on paper difficulty, I think Blackpool would probably be at the bottom. They've got, you know, they've got a good home record this season. They tend not to be quite as impressive away, but they have three very winnable home games on the spin after they go away to Derby. So let's start with that Derby game. I think Derby, despite the fact they're very inconsistent at the minute, I think they're going to be desperate to get a win. And I'm going to put this one as a Derby win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know Derby had a difficult result yesterday, of course, but they don't lose back-to-back games very often at all. Paul Warren's teams are notoriously difficult to beat.
Yep.
And Blackpool, for me, as good as they are, don't score that many goals, particularly away from home. They're very, very poor away from home. So, yeah, definitely a Derby victory.
And then are we going to suggest that we have 9 points from three here?
I think it's a point against Wickham.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If we're doing best case scenario for the opposition, though, then yeah, it's probably nine. I think Wickham are tough to play against. And again, I know Blackpool are good at home, but Wickham are a difficult opposition. But yeah, I think it's definitely a point in this for Wickham. But I think for the case of, you know, best case scenario for opposition teams, I think this is where we go. Probably 3 points in each of those three games, those three home games.
Okay. Well, I've marked down one as well, just in case we want to go with the draw against Wickham. But yeah, I think Cambridge and Fleetwood, I think, are going to be teams that Blackpool should beat relatively easily. Then we have Carlisle. At this point, you know, 13th of April, Carlisle could potentially be mathematically relegated, which I think probably adds a slight air of danger because they'll be playing without a care.
Yeah, maybe so, but they kind of already there now. They're just not very good. No. They're weak. They're weak in both boxes. Obviously, they took a 2-goal lead against Stevenage yesterday, which was very funny. obviously, they conceded two late goals there. I just think if there's anything on this game, the team that needs to win will get past Carlisle United.
Yeah.
So 3 points.
I agree with you there. Then we have Barnsley for Blackpool at home.
Barnsley to win for me. I think Barnsley is significantly better than Blackpool are.
Yeah, you see, I had this down as either a draw or an away win. So I think, yeah, I think I'd probably agree that Barnsley are going to take all 3 points there, because I think after we beat them, I think they've had a bit of a wobble. I think they won the next game and they've lost. Have they lost and drawn? Outside of the, where are we, Barnsley? Yeah, they lost and they've won and drawn. So yeah, I expected more of a wobble, if I'm honest. But yeah, I can't see them being troubled too much by Blackpool. And then the final day, Reading v Blackpool. I think
Reading are really good. By the way, I think they're a far better side than their league position suggests. Obviously, they've had their points deductions, which kind of proves that. But I mean, their level of performance has improved significantly since the start of the season. I think they're a really good side now, Reading. For me, this is a point. I think if we allocate 4 points for both the Reading and the Wickham game combined, I think that evens it out. I'd be very surprised to see Blackpool win both of those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'd probably I'd agree with you on that one. I'm not disagreeing with you at all when you say that Reading are a decent side. I think when they came here, they looked decent. And I think, you know, 1-1 was a fair result on the day. And if they can keep that up, I think, yeah, maybe taking a point from Blackpool on the final day is definitely something that we could see. So what are we looking at there? We're looking at
73 points in total for Blackpool.
2, 3, 4. So that is also plus 13, isn't it?
Mm.
If we're going with the win, if we're going with a draw against Wickham, then it's plus 11. So, where are we?
Let's give them the benefit of that. I'm not giving them 5 wins out of those fixtures, but 4 wins in a draw.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay, so yeah, there we are. We're on 73 for Blackpool.
So as it stands, even though staying on paper, most concerned about Blackpool, actually, Oxford, as it stands in terms of our prediction, are 3 whole points ahead of Blackpool. Most of them, isn't
indeed.
It?
So interesting one. So next up, we have Steve Evans's band of merry men. at Stevenage, looking ahead, I think they've probably got a little bit of a tougher run than we have, maybe. They're playing Bolton first off away. I can't really see anything other than a Bolton win there.
Agreed.
So they're going to take no points there. I think then Charlton are one of those sides this season that have been kind of all over the place. I think that they're safe from relegation now, but there was a point where there was a genuine fear there, wasn't there?
Yeah, they've Nathan Jones has really turned it around there. Since they played us, they were decent against us. They've gone a really good run. I think this is a Charlton win.
Yep, I would agree with you on that one. And then again, Exeter mid-table, not too much to play for, but I think that's when teams can play with a bit more freedom. Maybe I would probably say this is. Even with that in mind, I'd probably say Stevenage might take this one.
Yeah, I think we've given them the benefit of the doubt here. So, yeah, I've allocated 3 points for Exeter in this one. For Stevenage in this one.
Yep. Then Barnsley, same as we've said for Blackpool. I can't see anything other than a Barnsley win there.
Agreed.
Yep. Let's have a look next. Burton, I think Stevenage would probably take that one.
Yeah, I think so. That's going to be an absolutely disgusting game of football.
Yep. Yep. So where are we? Stevenage to win that one. We then have Oxford v Stevenage. Again, that's the one that we've sort of said is probably going
to
be a draw.
To that, didn't we? Yeah.
Yep. And then Stevenage v Cheltenham. I think Stevenage would probably take all 3 points there.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That gives him 10 points, Ben, and leaves him on a total of 72.
Okay. So.
There's one team we haven't discussed yet.
Then we have Lincoln City.
Indeed.
So, let's go through this. Friday, Lincoln City v Leighton Orient. We will obviously preview this match in full on Thursday. But I think with the momentum that we've had, the break that we've had, the ability to get players fit and just really drill home everything that we want to be doing. And also, we spoke a little bit earlier in the season about the intangible stuff, I think it might be me and Charlie actually, and we said that I said that I've not seen this level of togetherness in a team at Lincoln since the Keith era. And at that point, there was, when it came to Keith's squad, we were always greater than the sum of our parts because of that intangible thing that was the team spirit. And you're seeing that now with this Michael Skibala side. So I think, you know, an extra week of bonding and training and making sure that everything's all ticking over well, I think Orient could be in a lot of trouble on Friday.
It's a big game because I think it's, or because we obviously haven't discussed Orient in terms of their running. They're still part of this, I think. But if we beat them on Friday, they're not anymore. I think this is a big, big, big game for them. And it's probably going to be something riding on this in terms of an element of revenge. Because it is harsh, the situation that happened to them earlier in the season. It was also massive for Michael Skibala because it was his first win. But if we compare then, because we were the better team that night, we were the better team that night, and we were a significantly better team now than we were then. So I think we're going to win on Friday. I don't think it'll be easy. I don't think it's going to be another 5-0. But I do think we have enough to get past it. I think I agree with the connection, by the way. I think not just between the players, which is brilliant to see. I think that the whole connection between the club, the unity between the fan base, the manager, the staff, the players, just really is coming together at once. It feels just, for me, it feels similar to how it did under the Cowleys in terms of the connection that the fan base and the players have together. COVID has a part to play in this, of course, but it has definitely had been missing to an extent. So we've got the connection, which is brilliant, because that gives you a little bit of something extra. Because if you are having a tough game, that's the moments where the crowd would normally get on the players' backs, but actually they support them. You know, we always remember the Crewe Alexandra game where we lost 4-0 at home and we were singing Danny and Nicky Cowley's voice at the top of our voice because they'd earned it. You know, the club had earned that. It was an off day, but we still supported them. You don't get that unless you've earned it. And I think we're at that point now with Michael Skibala's team where if we are having a challenging day, the crowd will back up, we'll get behind the lads, we'll support them. There won't be moans and groans anymore. It'll be, we believe that they can get it out of this. That's huge. So add the fact that we're actually really flipping good now, like on the ball and off it, like we're just genuinely good. Like no one's going to want to play us. Everyone's going to be terrified of us. And Orient are going to have a bit between their teeth on Friday. It's a really big game actually on Friday. But I do think we can come out of this on the right side. I've put us down for 3 points here.
Yeah, no, absolutely the same. It is really interesting to see other teams at the minute talking about, you know, potential playoff stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, but Lincoln are going to catch us. So it's so strange to see because usually we're the ones that are getting worried towards the end of the season. So then we have Carlisle away on Monday.
We have to put that down as 3 points. I know every game, like when it's your team that you're talking about, you're always like, oh yeah, but what if? You know, you're always going to get a bit nervous. But you know, we've almost seen Carlisle as a guaranteed 3 points when they're playing any of these other rivals. I think we have to treat us in the same way. So I'll put us down for 3 points here.
Absolutely. Then we have Reading away. Now this is a game where I've got us down for a point.
Same. Yeah, Reading. As I said earlier, Reading are good. We put Blackpool down for a point there. Last day of the season away at Reading. We put them down for a point. I think a point's a really good result away at Reading. They also will play a really high intensity game, high press, move the ball quickly. They're a similar team to us in terms of style. So that'll be a day where who does it better, really? Potentially could be quite open.
Next up, we have Wigan at home. Now, I know I think you said that Wigan were a team that potentially worried you a little bit.
Yeah, I put this down as a point as well. I can't see us losing games at the moment. I just think we've got enough to stay in them, even if we're not 100%. So I put us down for a point for this one because Wigan would be in this conversation if it wasn't for their points deduction. They'd be here, there or thereabouts. So they're a very good side. I think being conservative here, that I can't see any worse than a point, but I think it's a bit ambitious to see us winning.
Okay.
That one as well as the others.
I did have us down for 3 points here, but I will concede. I will bow to your one. Then we've got Oxford. Now, obviously, we've said previously that we would hope that we would win that game.
That's huge. If the results go as we think they might do, that is an even bigger game than it is now.
Yeah.
By the time it gets there, because Oxford should, by that point, have won three out of their four.
Yeah. So that
two wins, two draws by that point.
Absolutely enormous. And then we round out the season with an away trip to Cheltenham.
Good game for them, of course, but you'd expect by that point in the season. But again, you'd hope we had enough to come out the other side. So I put us down for three for that.
Yep. And then Portsmouth.
Point.
Ooh. Interesting. So you think we will genuinely go the rest of the season unbeaten?
Yeah. Okay. It's mad, isn't it? It's mad to say that. I just think Portsmouth are very, very good. But I also think that they will have won the league by that point.
Yeah.
I also know that they're good because they're like above average at everything, but they're not free flowing. They don't create chance after chance after chance. They take the chances they get. They're very clinical, but they're not as good going forward as the teams that we have kept out. So I can see us being able to keep Portsmouth out. I just don't know if I can see us really putting them to the sword. So I think, you know, if, imagine they're already almost on the beach mentally by that point. I can see us not losing that. Okay. I think saying that we're going to get a point out of Wigan, a point out of Reading, and a point out of Portsmouth, or we win one of those and lose two, that gives us the same points return. And I think that's pretty conservative, to be honest. So, and I've just done the maths. So that also puts us on 76 points, tied with Oxford, hopefully with a superior goal difference. So as it transpires by our live predictions that we've just done, it looks like we're going to get in the playoffs on goal difference.
Yeah. So you see, I've just thought about this. I've just tallied mine and yours. Like, obviously, you've said 1 point against Wigan and 1 point against Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I've gone with three against Wigan and we lose to Portsmouth, which would put us on 16 points, which would then put us on
77. Which would give us a point clearance.
Yeah.
I don't think we've been too ambitious here in terms of our expected points returns, considering all the factors that are at play at the moment within the squad.
Yep.
And at the club. And I don't think we've been particularly negative on any of the rivals. I think we've been quite positive on expected points returns for our rivals, probably bar Stevenage. But as it stands, like we're 4 points ahead of Stevenage in terms of our predictions. So even if we've got a miss there in terms of they win an extra game that we don't expect them to, they're still a point behind. So,
So there we go.
That was very, very fun.
Yeah, our potential table sees us in sixth with 76 or 77 points, Oxford in seventh, Blackpool in eighth, and Stevenage in ninth.
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, so let us know what you guys think, because I'm. It's just exciting at this point, but it's like I've said in the chat a few times. If we win 10 games, we will be in the championship.
Yeah, that's a mantle. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
there is no doubt that everybody's going to drop points. So if we win 10 games, we've done it.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous that might happen. Mad. But what it shows is that we can afford to not have... We don't have to win 10 games and we could still do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've still got to put a hell of a run together. You know, we've been on a frankly ridiculous run.
Yep.
In terms of probability to see that extended is unlikely, but at the same time, we're really good. We're really good at football at the moment.
I mean, this
and teams are going to be really, really, really not looking.
Nobody wants to play us.
Players at the moment, and nobody I think what that will mean us. Is that teams will be playing deeper. They're not going to be because of quite as aggressive. Of course, that means we're not going to be able to play through them as easily. But I'm really confident that we're able to pin teams in and break them down now. Whereas previously, that was our Achilles heel, wasn't it, when teams played like that? I would be confident of us doing it. And then once we score a goal, which I think we would, if we're playing against a team that's not really attacking us, I think at some point we'd score, they have to come out. And then we're at our best when we get in behind. So, yeah, not every game's going to go exactly as a plan. There's going to be twists and turns between now and the end of the season. But there we go. And we genuinely didn't plan this, did we? We did just do this as it was.
We had an idea of what we were going to say in terms of the games, but it was
we hadn't actually added up the points.
No.
And that's really interesting that we've actually put us making it, genuinely making it.
Yeah.
And I think we've been reasonably
I think we've been, fair on those. I mean, you know, particularly some of the teams have to play Barnsley. They've got to play Bolton. You know, they're playing teams up there. And, you know, obviously they are rivals in their own respect. But, I mean, you look at Derby, Bolton. Bolton's still in with a chance of getting second. Peterborough, two games in hand. They would probably fancy themselves as well for that second spot. You know, it's getting tight up up in that sort of second down to fourth. Yeah.
Sometimes you find that like first and second are kind of miles away. There's like two or three in the playoffs that are like guaranteed to be in the playoffs. They're not going to get automatic. They're not going to drop out of the playoffs. And you almost those teams often kind of coast towards the end of the season. Even though we're not going to, none of us that are chasing sixth are going to catch fifth.
Mm.
Every team from fifth to first has got something to play for in every game.
Yeah.
So they're going to be difficult games. They're definitely going to be difficult games if you come up against one of those big five.
Absolutely. So there we go. That is our prediction until the end of the season, which could hopefully see us in the playoffs. It still makes me smile.
Wouldn't that be a
thing? Still makes me smile. So quickly, before we go, obviously there was a big bit of news earlier in the week that there is going to be an independent regulator brought in. This was put to Parliament. And, could be a very, very interesting thing for the game. I think what it means for us is definitely a... At the moment, not necessarily huge because, you know, we are kind of the gold standard, I think.
Yeah, we really are.
And that's not me saying that. It's the likes of Kieran Maguire and other people away from the club. We're pretty tight in terms of our transparency, our books and everything else. So we don't have to worry about anything that could be coming in on that front. The only thing that it would potentially do is give us slightly bigger share of the pie when it comes to the financial side of it, which again, the Premier League are currently kicking the deal down the road repeatedly, which we spoke about last week, and I got quite angry at Bournemouth.
Yeah, that was disappointing, wasn't it? Really disappointing. Yeah. I think it's big news for football, big news for Lincoln, because it's big news for football, but it's not really going to affect us directly in terms of, oh my God, we need to change this, that and the other. We're well ahead of the curve here in terms of the legislation that they're looking to bring in with the regulator on the back of the fan-led review that Tracy Crouch did a year or two ago. So just on that, we've obviously been in fan advisory board meetings recently, and what's great to hear is that particularly with like the fans' share that we've put forward, but there's lots of other legislation that's recommended as well. There's been lots and lots of EFL clubs contacting Lincoln for support in their development. So we're ahead of the curve. We've been there, done it. We've done it well. We're kind of a bit of an example, and other clubs are getting in touch with us for help to how they can do that. So that's a real positive. So we're fine. Like you said, the big thing is hopefully now with the threat of the independent regulator now being confirmed, the Premier League will finally just get their act together, and it's in their best interests to agree a deal now before an independent regulator makes them almost tells them what the deal is going to be. It makes far more sense for them to make that deal now. So hopefully, fingers crossed, this is finally going to be the beginning of that.
Absolutely.
Slightly bigger part of the pie. It's not going to be life-changing for Lincoln City, but it's going to be noticeable in terms of finances. It'll be a real big... Basically, we're going to get a few hundred thousand pounds a year more than we're getting now as a solidarity payment from the Premier League. That's basically what this is. Plus the new EFL TV deal, which is coming in next season. So those two things, hopefully, fingers crossed, can come in at the start of next season. The TV deal is hopefully the deal with the Premier League can finally get sorted. And then, yeah, we're in a really healthy position then as a football club. Other clubs will have more money, but there are going to be some strict rules that come in regards to how they can spend that money. So, knowing a little bit behind the scenes, we're far from perfect, but we're more perfect than pretty much any other football club. We're very much ahead of the curve here in regards to if and when those new legislations do come in, we're going to be in a position that can hopefully give us a little bit of a small advantage around clubs of a similar size to us. We're never still going to be able to compete financially with, say, a Derby County, even if they're in the same league as us. But can we punch above our weight? Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully it's just finally going to get that over the line, and then we can all breathe a big sigh of relief and get on with enjoying football as it should be.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's quite exciting, but at the same time, it's just frustrating that it's been, 2 years since the fan had review now, is it?
It's been a flipping long time, yeah. Of course, it takes a while for these things to get set in stone. But from a Premier League's perspective, there's been the threat of the independent regulator for a while. But the fact it's now going to be it's official. It's gonna happen. It's gonna be law. Like, it's hopefully that makes them kind of finally.
Yeah, I just wonder how they'll find ways around it. They always do.
Most likely, yeah. None of us like the Premier League, do we? You know, as EFL fans, they are the big, scary, evil, kind of baddie, aren't they, of the movie? But
indeed,
hopefully common sense can prevail at some point soon, and a deal could be struck.
It'd be very nice, but right, I think that's about it. No other real news from the club this week, so we will bid you all a fond farewell. Oh, Chris is putting his
one thing. Yeah, I just saw a really cool thing advertised. The club are advertising an evening with, I can't remember the guy's name now, Logan something or other, the performance analyst at the club. Similar to the recruitment evening that Jez did a little while ago, which was really well received. You can go for an evening with Logan. He'll talk you through basically how do they scout opposition, how do they use data, and how do they then use that to formulate a match plan for the upcoming game. So it's data plus training plus development and match. Really, really interesting stuff. If you're a nerd like me, then you'll go. I've already booked my place.
I was going to say,
it's 25 quid, and there's 30 spaces available. So, if you're interested in that sort of thing, then get yourself there. It looks really good.
I did think as soon as I saw it, I thought, that is Chris all over, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like my dream job.
Yeah. So is that. And also, I got an email earlier. If you are a Gold Plus member, I believe, you are going to be able to bring a friend for free to the Wigan game. And if you are a Gold member, you are able to bring a friend for a fiver.
Very good.
So there we go. Make sure you do that if you can. But we will speak to you on Thursday, ahead of the Orient game. And hopefully we'll have some more good news coming out of the club. But until then, as always, up the Imps.
Up the Imps.
It's the 90th minute, and all your mates around watching the Imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.